"Stand back," said Lockhart, who was rolling up his jade-green sleeves.
"No, don't,"
said Harry weakly, but Lockhart was twirling his wand, and a second later had directed it straight at Harry's arm. A strange and unpleasant sensation started at Harry's shoulder and spread all the way down to his fingertips. It felt as though his arm was being deflated. He didn't dare look at what was happening. He had shut his eyes, his face turned away from his arm, but his worst fears were realized as the people above him gasped, and Colin Creevy began clicking away madly. His arm didn't hurt any more, but nor did it feel remotely like an arm.
"Ah," said Lockhart. "Yes. Well, that can sometimes happen. But the point is, the bones are no longer broken. That's the thing to bear in mind. So, Harry, just toddle up to the hospital wing. Mr. Weasley, Miss Granger, would you escort him? And Madame Pomfrey will be able to, tidy you up a bit."
As Harry got to his feet, he felt strangely lopsided. Taking a deep breath, he looked down at his right side. What he saw nearly made him pass out again. Poking out of the end of his robes was what looked like a thick, flesh-coloured rubber glove. He tried to move his fingers. Nothing happened. Lockhart hadn't mended Harry's bones. He had removed them. Madame Pomfrey wasn't at all pleased.
"You should have come straight to me!" she raged, holding up the sad, limp remainder of what, half an hour before, had been a working arm. "I can mend bones in a second, but growing them back—"
"You will be able to, won't you?" said Harry, desperately.
"I'll be able to, certainly, but it will be painful," said Madame Pomfrey grimly, throwing Harry a pair of pyjamas. "You'll have to stay the night."
Hermione waited outside the curtain drawn around Harry's bed, while Ron helped him into his pyjamas. It took a while to stuff the rubbery, boneless arm into a sleeve.
"How can you stick up for Lockhart now, Hermione, eh?"
Ron called through the curtain, as he pulled Harry's limp fingers through the cuff. If Harry had wanted deboning, he would have asked.
"Anyone can make a mistake," said Hermione, "and it doesn't hurt any more, does it, Harry?"
"No," said Harry. "But it doesn't do anything else, either."
As he swung himself onto the bed, his arm flapped pointlessly. Hermione and Madame Pomfrey came around the curtain. Madame Pomfrey was holding a large bottle of something labelled Skelligrow.
"You're in for a rough night," she said,
pouring out a steaming beakerful and handing it to him.
"Regrowing bones is a nasty business."
So was taking the Skelligrow. It burned Harry's mouth and throat as it went down, making him cough and splatter. Still tut-tutting about dangerous sports and inept teachers, Madame Pomfrey retreated, leaving Ron and Hermione to help Harry gulp down some water.
"We won, though," said Ron, a grin breaking across his face. "That was some catch you made. Malfoy's face! He looked ready to kill!"
"I want to know how he fixed that bludger," said Hermione darkly.
"We can add that to the list of questions we'll ask him when we've taken the polyjuice potion," said Harry, sinking back onto his pillows. "I hope it tastes better than this stuff."
"If it's got bits of Slytherins in it, you've got to be joking," said Ron.
The door of the hospital wing burst open at that moment. Filthy and soaking wet, the rest of the Gryffindor team had arrived to see Harry.
"Unbelievable flying, Harry," said George. "I've just seen Marcus Flint yelling at Malfoy, something about having the snitch on top of his head and not noticing. Malfoy didn't seem too happy."
They had brought cakes, sweets, and bottles of pumpkin juice. They gathered around Harry's bed and were just getting started on what promised to be a good party when Madame Pomfrey came storming over, shouting,
"This boy needs rest! He's got 33 bones to regrow. Out! Out!"
And Harry was left alone, with nothing to distract him from the stabbing pains in his limp arm.